Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Hi, this is Lloyd Bailey, the host of Armed Lutheran Radio. There are two kinds of people who listen to this podcast, those who are badasses and those who want to learn to be badasses. Either way, you've come to the right place, the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck.
Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck. Today we're going to talk about martial law. Now, martial law is something pretty near and dear to your heart. I guess you like to enjoy your liberties as an American. I guess freedom kind of important to you.
Yeah, well, it's happened a couple times in this country.
What is martial law, really?
Martial law. It's basically where the executive branch takes control of the government, suspending certain rights, basically sidelining the rest of the government, the executive branch. So that would be like, placing curfews, suspending habeas corpus,
okay,
suspending basic civil rights, military justice and military courts, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So, you can forget your right to a trial and all that sort of stuff. And it's basically something the government puts in place during an emergency, a time of war. Some of the reasons that
they say riots, civil riots, yeah, so same thing.
Some of the times they've done it is to stabilize insurrections and uprisings, riots.
And that's more probably governors, stuff, that kind of thing? Or?
Well, that they did that in Canada in the October crisis in 1970. Put down political opposition. They've done that in Poland and Russia and all sorts of different places.
Okay. So there are other countries other than America. It's not all about us.
Yeah, they haven't just done it here.
Okay.
They did it to put down political protests. Remember Tiananmen Square?
Yeah.
In 89. And, you know, coup d'etat, like when the government is taken over by the military. We saw that recently in Egypt.
And Turkey as well, right?
Yep.
Turkey had the weird coup that may have been a CIA orchestrated event.
Nobody really knows what was going on over there.
Because mysteriously, somehow, who we wanted in power ended up and...
Yeah, it was. That was a little bit tricky, man. Nobody really knows what happened there.
And the guy in charge was hanging out in Virginia while it all happened, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yep.
The guy who ended up in power, like, how does this...
Right. All his enemies ended up getting arrested.
And, yeah, all his enemies got arrested. The military, you know, it was all pretty slick. All the judges got thrown off the court because they're all spies and they're all evil and everything's good.
Yeah, so it's happened a couple times here, though. There's a few. Most of them that I saw were in responses to... union protests and miners.
Okay.
Happened in West Virginia in 1912, where the West Virginia coal mine wars. That was pretty serious thing. That went on for a long time.
No, what's that about? I don't
know. That was a, you ever hear that the term redneck, a lot of people say, it comes from these guys.
Okay.
Because they were having a protest. They basically all got closed out of the mines, and they hired a bunch of non-union guys to come down. So
people who'd seen the sun before?
Yeah, so about 6,000 West Virginians came down with red bandanas around their neck, armed, and basically ended into a big war, big shootout, and all sorts of bad stuff happened.
So maybe good things can come from the government stepping in.
Well, I'll tell you, one that actually did work out pretty well for all of us was the Colorado Cornfield Wars. That was the same thing. That was a minor protest. That was, I think that was Rockefeller. John okay. Rockefeller owned the mines. He got the National Guard to come in, the Colorado National Guard.
All right.
And the, Colorado Fuel and Iron Company, that was the name of the company that owned the mines. And they basically went into the camp and just started shooting everybody up. It was called the Ludlow Massacre, it's known as that. And killed a bunch of women and kids. And, that didn't end so well because they killed all the women and kids and not all the guys. And so that ended up in a big war that ended up going on for about a year.
Wow.
And that ended up, actually, they had, the House Committee on Mines and Mining was formed in 1914 because of this. And they published a report that eventually led to the 40-hour work week and child labor laws.
Beautiful.
So I'm always a pro-union guy. I know you're not a huge union guy.
Not a big union guy.
I'm a union guy. I like them. They've done a lot for this country, you know?
I like the 40-hour work week idea.
I like it too, man. I like the overtime and all that stuff, man.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I don't necessarily need a 40-hour work week, but I do like getting paid more when I work more.
I think we can all agree on that. Nice. So this has played out quite a few times in history.
It's usually doesn't usually end up well for the people that are there.
No, and that's, I mean, I know everybody was afraid of, you know, Obama's going to have martial law and suspend elections and, you know, different stuff throughout. You've been hearing,
yep.
He's never going to give up power. And, well, shit, we elected him twice. I mean, I don't think he had to give up much of anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's happened quite a few times, and even, you know, you just gave some examples, and even more recent, Katrina.
Right.
That kind of thing. Right.
I mean...
Katrina, they came, they took people's guns.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's interesting, because it's, they don't always call it martial law. Sometimes they call it a state of emergency.
Okay.
You know, it's not technically the same thing, but they can do the exact same stuff, you
right.
know? Right. They were seizing guns and putting
and that was, I guess, one of the big things.
Trials.
They were like, well, do you have a receipt for your gun?
Right.
That was actually one of the things. It was cool. It was right when I was getting into buying a lot of guns and whatever. And I'm like, oh, I got to keep the receipts. I got to save the receipts for everything. And that's like the only thing I owed that, you know, I have all the receipts for and, you know, everything. I'm like, oh, this is here. This is here.
You're leaving a paper trail for the government. Now they can find your guns.
But man, because you got to have something. Because, yeah, they're going to take them and you're not getting... Because they were all like, well, we don't have any record of that. What are you talking about? And when you tell the cop when they're trying, you know, they're going door to door, and you're like, well, you have to give me a receipt for you taking my gun from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that...
Yeah.
They don't have time for that.
Yeah, no, I certainly wouldn't want to be the cop, though, doing that either, you know? That
yeah.
That doesn't seem like a fun job. Going
that sounds like every door
that,
you're
going to
get shot.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't sound fun at all. Now, tell me about, like, Boston. Now, Boston had martial law not that long ago.
That's right. It happens more frequently than you think. You don't always hear about it when it happens.
Now, Boston, they weren't necessarily going and, you know, taking people's guns
that
or
was,
like people imagined.
Yeah, they were basically trying to just keep everybody in their house until they tracked that last
which,
guy
you know,
down.
In the definition you read, that kind of fits right in.
Right, right. And, you know, being ready for martial law, that might be one of the things to keep in mind is that the best case scenario
so
might be just locking yourself in your house and keeping your food and your stuff together.
Just having the supplies and the things where you don't need to go out and you can hunker down for, usually a day or two, maybe a week. It's usually not long. It's not, you know. But can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can. You know, we keep discussing it. Well, sometimes.
How much of it is a crisis for everybody on Thanksgiving when the grocery store is closed? You know?
Danger.
Yeah.
Danger.
How many people do you see out that can't make it that one day?
Oh, I like to go to Stewart's and buy a newspaper. You know, I don't know.
You got
to
go do the Black Friday shopping.
But, and I think, what, this year I think I had to get, I bought a gallon of milk. I didn't really need it.
Yeah.
I bought a gallon of milk. And the wife's like, where the hell are you going to put that? That ain't going to fit in the fridge.
Yep.
You call that shit. You know, what you got to do? I said, put it outside. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, well, a little off task there. Sorry. I get distracted. So Boston, though, they had the right to go in and search everybody. Kind of fits. I mean, you know, we all wanted those guys caught.
Right.
You know, everybody can kind of agree on that.
Yeah, and there are definitely situations where martial law is necessary.
It's kind of scary probably seeing all those, you know, military vehicles roll through town.
Right.
The stories, there were a few that I did hear that were a little concerning.
Mm-hmm.
I know people were talking about if they looked out their window, the soldiers going by would point their guns at them and they had to go hide away.
Yeah.
I don't know if you really have to go hide away when you look out the window and they point a gun mm-hmm. at you. But
well, you have to remember that everybody in the military, all the cops, they're all people, man. And some people are assholes.
Some people are assholes and some people don't want to get shot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd rather point my gun at you.
Right.
And have you disappear so that way you know, hey, I don't like you looking out the window at me because mm-hmm. I don't want you to shoot my ass.
Don't look at me!
Especially with the cops today, man, being under such threat of... It's unbelievable all the stories we've been hearing this week of, you know, cops getting shot everywhere. And, yeah,
I certainly wouldn't want to be a cop.
Oh, man, they have a tough job.
It is a hard job, man.
And, you know, so, hey, if I'm out trying to control an area and I have people staring out the window at me, I don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying, you know, I want a 50 cal pointed in my window when I'm trying to see what's going on.
You realize it's a pretty unpleasant experience.
That doesn't sound good to me. I do remember hearing a story in Boston that... one of the guys was like, yeah, I got up to go to the bathroom and they shot through my chair and like broke my computer monitor because they were just like randomly shooting into houses thinking they were going to do something. And because I guess they had the bad guy narrowed down to his building.
Right.
But they were just like spraying shit.
Yeah.
Now, I guess they could get away with it. And even if this guy got shot, they could kind of legally work their way out of that one.
Yeah.
But come on.
I mean, it's during martial law.
It doesn't mean be a complete ass.
But that doesn't mean that there's going to be a whole lot of repercussions. During martial law, there's not a whole lot of repercussions.
No.
You know, even after the fact.
Right.
I mean, that's why they declare martial law.
So they can do whatever
they
want.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Now, part of that can boil down to, especially for state of emergencies, you know, seizing food stockpiles. Mm. So
now,
that's something you want to keep in mind when you're stockpiling things. Maybe keep it in a place that's not so obvious.
All right. So, yeah, one of the things that I heard was that under Obama in 2012, he signed, now mind you, it's an executive order, so he's just like, whatever the fuck I want to do.
Makes it a rule.
So it's not like anybody really got behind it, but I just can't imagine a President Trump or anybody else saying, you know, I have all this extra power, he already got the shame for it, I'm going to just get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So what it was an executive order called the National Defense Resource Preparedness Executive Order, which grants all the big agencies, Homeland Security, Department of Agriculture, Department of Labor, Department of Defense, complete control of the U.S. resources, including the ability to seize, confiscate, or delegate resources, materials, services, and facilities as deemed necessary or appropriate to promote the national defense.
Yeah. I like how they call it U.S. resources.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the U.S. government just has thousands of grocery stores, you know?
No.
That's not, it doesn't mean that's the stuff the government owns.
So if you're the grocery store that instead of having 2 days worth of food on your shelves or 3 days, whatever, you know, the number they keep throwing around is, if you're the grocery store that has a week's supply, does that mean sucks to be you? You planned wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of scary. If, you know, people know I'm the prepper, and now this is on the local level, but, like if the mayor's like, oh, you know, everybody in the community, we all know that Bob is the big, stockpiler, and he's probably got a year's plus supply of food in his basement, and that would really help out. I got a lot of hungry people here.
Yep.
That's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. So one, that makes you guys think, loose lips sink ships. Yeah. You know, you want to keep your OPSEC up, you know, your general preparedness. Maybe, no, that's the thing. Like, I mean, obviously we have the prepping podcast, and, you know, I always get in trouble with my wife. It's like, you tell everybody everything, and you have it on your sleeve kind of thing. And it's true, because I look at it as the point of view of, I want everybody else to prepare, so that way they don't want to steal my shit.
Right.
But honestly, she's probably right. Mm-hmm. You really want to keep your mouth shut and just take care of your business and whatever.
Yeah, we're a couple of morons for even doing this podcast.
Yeah, no, there's nothing right. But, you know, whatever. I just feel like I got to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by kind of warning everybody and kind of getting people, I think, if I can get you excited about guns, then maybe my Second Amendment will last a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's really what it is, man. It's just, I think that's what the NRA's main goal is, to just hold out as long as possible.
Yeah, you know, shift as many minds in our direction to, you know, I say our direction, hopefully you're on board at this point. I don't really know, but otherwise you're a little strange, a little narcissistic or self defeating if you've gone this long listening to our podcast. You know, like, I think we're episode 51, and you guys are still listening. If you're anti-gun and whatever, I guess, you know, maybe know your enemy, right? You're listening to your Rage Against the Machine.
Yep. I actually, interestingly enough, I had the cops come to my door yesterday. I wasn't even home.
How is this not on the regular for you? This is what I'm concerned about.
You know, all the things that I go online looking up when it comes to this show, it seems like I've got to be on, like, all sorts of watch lists. Yeah. But they actually came, it was unrelated, they came to my door, and apparently somebody up the street had their house broken into, and somebody stole their stove. They took their oven out of their house.
That's awesome.
And was in a truck that was very similar to the one that was parked in my front yard, my front driveway.
And you were like, good luck getting that thing to move.
Yeah. Well, that's what the wife said. She goes, look at all the leaves that are underneath it and on top of it. You know that thing hasn't moved in a year.
That's a pretty valid point.
But, yeah, so basically the cop said, yeah, that's good enough for me, and left.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's whatever. I mean, you know, they're out there trying to do their job. And that's it. We're all doing battle, you know.
And if you're a cop and somebody got broken down the street, and you stole somebody's oven, broken into, you stole their oven, and drove the block down the street and moved it into your house, you'd have to be an idiot of a cop to not figure that out, to not at least go look into that.
Yeah.
You know, don't rob your neighbor, man. No. Robbing the next town over.
Shame, shame. I like that they knew the truck. I felt bad. I was talking to a lady, and her family owns one of the big furniture businesses in town. And you know, you always hear these commercials about, my grandfather built this table and whatever, and we still have Thanksgiving there and all this stuff. And they talk about how you know, just generations and whatever, the same family owning this business, and you're like, oh, they sound like nice people, you know, they're whatever, you hear about it on the radio. So the lady calls me, and I guess both the grandparents had just died recently.
Okay.
And so they were doing the funeral and all this for, you know, for the one, for the second one to pass on, you know, the grandmother. And they said during the week while they were doing all the arrangements and the funeral, somebody broke into the house. Now, mind you, this is a really nice neighborhood. This is like a main part of town. It's on a main road where cars are driving by. You know, you get 20 cars past your house in a minute, right? All right. So they went in, stole all the copper.
Oh, that's the worst.
They had this big antique Lincoln, no plates, no nothing in the driveway. Hooked it up, stole that.
Drove off with it?
Stole appliances. That's what made me think of whatever the lady called it. It's like, I just have to tell you what happened. And I'm like, okay.
That's the worst. When they steal the copper.
Oh, yeah.
They just trash the house.
And you don't get
you're going to get
$60. Yeah, exactly.
And you knock all the walls in and all sorts of nonsense.
Oh, it's brutal. And she's like, and they stole the car out of the driveway? I don't understand. But it's like a main street. And the houses, this is a neighborhood where the houses are like 15 feet from each other. Right, they're not. It's like, how does that happen? And, you know, that's the thing. So, you know, we understand. Cops are out there doing their job. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be harassed. Like Kevin said, you got to be, you know, there's good people, there's bad people in every walk of life. And, you know, just, you know, maybe have these guys back, be a little patient with them. If they're willing to work with you and be pleasent.
Yeah.
Maybe throw them a bone and be a little pleasant too. That's all. If they're assholes, fucking be an asshole. That's what I say. But, you know, work with people because we're all just trying to get along and make do. And, you know, you got to realize a lot of those guys out there are, you know, preppers and, people who think a lot like you. There's a lot of cops that are on board with, you know, taking care of themselves, taking care of their family, and and taking care of their fellow man.
Right.
So, you know, just be a little patient. Anyway, sorry to get off on another rant. But, you know, that's what you guys are looking for, right? The quality entertainment of Chuck and Kevin? No? All right. So, martial law. So, what kind of things would... You know, we just talked about the government could come in and take whatever resources.
Right.
So it might not just be food, although food is definitely high priority on these things for a long term, you know, situation. You know, they're not going to come in and want to take your food because they're having a week shutdown from a storm.
Right.
Or even 2 weeks.
Right.
I mean, you got to move into months, I think, before the government, or you got to be talking national disaster where, you know, EMP and the whole country's out. Then maybe, you know, your local militia or, you know, National Guard are knocking on the door going, oh, we want everybody's resources.
Yeah, and most of the time I see that it is actually the National Guard when you see these sorts of events.
It's usually the
governor, not the president, that puts something like this in an order.
I know, that's why I want to be a governor. I'd rather be a governor over a president. These guys have the power, you know?
Yeah. They run the state troopers, everything, man.
You got your own police army there, plus the National Guard. Come on.
Yeah. So, so what else? It's what happened quite a few times.
All right.
The thing we have to watch out for is there's a very small difference between that and a national disaster type thing.
Okay.
State of emergency. So, state of emergency is basically a nice way to say it. But it's basically the same thing.
Doesn't sound as scary.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as scary. Right. They're here to help. The government is here to help.
From the government, we're here to help.
Oh, your house is damaged? Come over to our FEMA camps. We'll take care of you.
And that's, I mean, one of the big things about being a prepper is you want to prepare to not be forced into going to a FEMA camp.
Right.
A lot of times, I mean, a lot of times it is mandatory, but there's a lot of times where it's not mandatory. But they're like, if you want food, if you want anything, come hang out at our FEMA camp and we'll take care of you.
Right.
Come to the local high school gym and we'll set you all up with cots and whatever, and we're going to give you food and supplies.
Yeah.
If you prepare and you have food and supplies, you might not have to go to the FEMA camp. And then you can make a little more decisions and have freedom a little bit longer. Right. And that's kind of why we're prepping, you know? And also, if you can hold back a little bit, then you can kind of see how it's going to play out.
Right. Right. See what's going on.
And say, hey, you know, it's pretty good. Everything over there is working out. They're just there to help. It's like the Red Cross and their sandwiches and crackers. then great. Yeah. I like crackers.
I like crackers.
But if they're like, oh, why did you run that barbed wire all around the high school?
Food stopped showing up?
Now, oh, the food's a little moldy. Wait, the soldiers are getting the good food first, and then there's nothing left. No. See, that's the idea. We want you guys to plan. We want you to think. Get a little bit ahead of, you know, the curve. The other thing is guns. I know that's actually what a lot of people think of first when, oh, the government's going to come take my guns. But you know what? I can't even think of an instance where that's happened under martial law. So, well, I guess
New Orleans.
Yeah. Right. That's where I was going. But, you know, that's not a typical thing. But I guess, you know, that could happen. Mm-hmm. New Orleans, and I don't know how that could have helped the situation in any way.
Right.
Law-abiding citizens, you should give up your guns because there's people running around and shooting people everywhere.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to me.
That's not a, it's not a, it's non sequitur, but I don't know.
Why not?
So one of the things you want to think about, though, is if you're in a rural area.
Yes.
And this is going on, your best bet is probably to, you know, bolt your doors and close your blinds and hunker down. But in an urban area, depending on your situation, food supplies can end quick, and then it happens a lot faster that people start looking for somebody else to get food from.
Right.
So in an urban area, your best bet might be to get out as soon as possible. Load up your car and, you know, get out of the area.
You know, I was looking back at my notes here. Sorry. I know we're jumping around a little bit, just a little. But 1773, after the Boston Tea Party.
Yep.
Martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but
part of the Intolerable Acts. That was that whole thing there.
Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire did one. They ended up, you know, ending that after a day or two when they realized nobody was rioting. But you know what they did seize during the Chicago Fire? They went around and seized all the dynamite they could and then blew up buildings to stop the fire. You know, blew up a line of buildings.
That's
to,
pretty cool.
Put an end to the
and
fire.
And I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we go back to a minute ago. You want to be helpful.
Right.
I don't want my whole community to burn down to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If I can give you something that'll stop it, I wish, and I know we don't, I wish we lived in the world where it would be, you know, people wanted to help each other and mm-hmm. we're all cool.
Yeah.
And instead, we're so ingrained in this, I got to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. But it sucks on the flip side. You don't want to be the guy who gives up all your resources for a day and then you buy the masses one more day.
Right. And then you starve to death along with
it. And your family starves to death when you were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I've been seeing on Facebook. They have some kind of card game with decks. It's called Conflicted or something, and I keep seeing the Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked interesting, whatever. But I guess the premise is the moral, you know, it's called Conflicted. So, like, the moral decisions that need to be made kind of for a prepper. And you know what? Honestly, it's better if you're clear in your mind where your lines are. I know we did a, like, Survival at Sea episode. We talked about, you know, when are you ready to eat your buddy?
Right.
And different things like that, which, you know, I'm still a little scarred about where you want to go with that. But, you know, whatever. But thinking about these things beforehand, but where is the moral line? I mean, you know, like you said, giving out dynamite to the government to save your community, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
I don't
that
think they
makes
actually
sense.
Gave up the dynamite. They just had their dynamite taken. But
right. Well, that's my point. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, where is the line of, you know, this is what's right. Mm-hmm. This is what's...
And, you know, a just government, hypothetically, would reimburse you after the fact. And that's possible, you know? But that's not necessarily saying that's going to happen at all.
I think if you're giving up food, the probable, what is it, the vouchers? It's not always what you hear. Oh, the government will give you a voucher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll be able to get, don't even worry about that. Give me all your supplies. We'll give you a voucher. You could be at the front of the line.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you the A1 spot. And, right after, you know, because we got resources coming. We just got to hold out 2 more days.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's the kind of thing is, you know, you got a plan. All right, am I going to help out? You know, can we take in 20 more people? Now, 20 more people who can farm and, you know, take care of things, they might be cool to add to your little prepper security location. But 20 more useless people who just want to eat your crap, that's maybe not so so useful. So just think about what you're doing. Think about what you're securing and why. I mean, that's the thing is the moral, you know, implications. You got to kind of weigh it out. But do you not have an obligation to your family?
Right.
You know, you have to take care of yours and you prepared. If it's possible to help somebody, you know, if you have a well and somebody's like, oh, I want water, that's cool if you could help them out. But also don't be stupid. When you become the target by you giving out water, does that not make a line of 1,000 refugees standing at your the end of your driveway? Please, sir.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it gets ugly. You got to worry about, you know, the whole end of it like that. So, you know, I don't know. We got to just kind of plan and maybe start to think beforehand so you're ready when those tough decisions. I know there was a big thing in Iraq and Afghanistan where, you know, you'd see like little kids as bait kind of thing or kids coming out taunting people and whatever. And you're like, oh, it's a kid, you know, whatever, because we have a different moral code than other people might have. And in desperate times, people might use their kid to set up an ambush, you know, to get you. Oh, you know, there's a kid sitting there. You know, how many times in Vietnam the snipers would shoot one guy in the leg out in the open and everybody'd try and go rescue him and you'd get shot, get shot, get shot, you know, four and five guys deep trying to save one when that guy was already lost. So you got to decide just because something on the surface seems right, you also have to protect your family, you know, your community, your group. So kind of starting to think about these things before martial law happens. One of the things that I've been, you know, feeling conflicted about lately, or I don't know, pressed into to worrying about is your stuff put away? Is it in order? So if you're at work today and something horrible happens, some kind of a, you know, major event, terrorist attack, something, and the government came and locked everything down and they were going door to door looking for guns, like FEMA. Are your guns right there in the gun safe where they can walk in and go, oh, here they all are?
Yep.
And they walk out with your guns. It's not going to be hard for the government to find most people's stuff. Do you really have it, you know, planned and put away? Are your food supplies all in one place? You know, oh, show me your pantry. Show me, you know, I mean, some places, you know, it's you're in your basement. There's a closet or whatever. Is it all in one place right in the open where if they walk through your house and open each door, they're going to see it? So maybe find a way to disguise your stuff a little bit. But my point is, do this stuff beforehand, before martial law happens, before whatever, so that you can decide what's right. You can give up your stuff on your terms if you want to do it. And if you want to keep your stuff, then you have that option too. But decide where your moral compass is, where you want to be, and think about your family. Think about who you care about. Think about your obligation as a man to protect your family.
Right.
These are the things, you know, that are kind of important, and it's better to decide now and make sure you're ready so when these times come up, you know, they always, it's one of the government commercials. What is it? You never know when the day before is the day before. And right, isn't that true?
Right, right.
You know, you don't know that tomorrow, and it's funny that the government keeps saying all these things, and nobody's like, well, you're ridiculous if you think tomorrow something bad might happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's important to have your moral beliefs, but it's also important to be able to make the decisions.
Yes.
Instead of having somebody making the decisions for you.
Yes.
That's really, I think, what I'm getting at, is that, you know, martial law, if it does happen in your area, may be completely justified.
And it may solve a problem.
Right.
You know, maybe you don't want people running around with Molotov cocktails throwing them at your local businesses.
Right. But, you know, you need to make your moral decisions based on the events as they happen.
Right.
And if you give up your readiness, then you're not going to be able to make that decision. You're going to have other people making the decisions for you. So, I think that's about all we got for the show.
Yeah, no, I was going to have a little one. Yeah, no, it's what I got on martial law.
Okay.
I did want to mention we got our first Patreon subscriber.
Nice.
So, yep, you guys might want to follow suit. You're like, hey, it's not so crazy. Maybe I should support Chuck and Kevin.
Yeah.
Maybe I should click that link that says Patreon and throw them a dollar a month. Then I'd be awesome. Now, it is possible that this person was drunk, accidentally hit the donate. Maybe they meant to go somewhere else. I don't know. It does appear it might have been 12:41 in the morning when he did it. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But the bottom line, you know what? We appreciate it because that's cool. So something the rest of you guys, you might be like, oh, you know, instead of buying audiobooks for $18 for 5 hours, I can listen to 5 hours of Kevin and Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
And I think, you know, if we get a little bit of money coming in, we can, you know, focus on getting some better equipment and bring you some better quality shows.
Better quality shows, a little more time for research.
Yeah.
So whatever, that's cool. You know, we're not trying to hit you guys up by just throwing that out there. And you know what? We do appreciate it, and that's awesome. So thanks for supporting us there. I like that. Also, got some more emails. Got a guy excited, wants to learn about solar, setting up off-the-grid situation.
Okay.
And I say we're all about off-the-grid situations. We're all about preparing and setting things up to take care of yourself, make yourself a little more self-reliant. Hopefully next week we'll be able to talk about solar and setting up, you know, your own kind of off-the-grid solar situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, solar's really been in the news a lot lately, and it seems like it's getting pretty reliable and pretty cost-effective.
We're going to try and dig deep into that, but my point is, the reason I bring it up now is, you know, throwing us some ideas, different things you guys want to hear about. We're always excited to hear, you know, what's going on and what you'd like to learn about, because we're going to try and give it back and do the right thing. So look forward to that. Otherwise, and any more ideas, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking.
Four in the morning.
From the
Mississippi Delta and Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest, me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.